Good evening. Good to see all of you out, and it's nice to have the sun still out while we have our evening service, and that's one of the blessings of daylight saving time, even though it kind of throws our schedules off a little bit, but I do enjoy having the lighter evenings. Had a blessed time there at the nursing home this afternoon, and always a good time to talk with the older folks and to sing the gospel hymns and have a challenge from the Word of God and a blessing there. Looking forward to this evening. We'll have a short song service, a message, and then we'll be celebrating the Lord's table, and so looking forward to this evening. One announcement, we will have an impromptu fellowship tonight. We had some leftover sandwiches, ham sandwiches from yesterday's birthday party, and we have some chips, and we have a whole Jell-O cake left over, and so you're invited to come on downstairs, have a good time in fellowship, and just some simple food, and looking forward to that. So hopefully you can join us, and we have more than a food to go around. And so I think that's about it. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for who you are, your many blessings, and truly we do thank you for Jesus Christ and the hope and the joy that we have in him. And so as we will be singing songs tonight and looking into your word and having communion, we do thank you for all of those things and so the many ways that we can worship you. And so I do even pray that we'd be united together as a body, that we would be joined with the sole purpose of serving you and doing the things that you'd have us to do. And so I do even pray for those that are not able to be with us this evening, for whatever reason, I do pray that you'd comfort them and that you'd work in their lives in a great way. And most of all, well, thank you once again for Jesus Christ. Can't thank you enough for him. So we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I failed to mention this morning, with those fly sheets, "Be now imitators of your Lord," to put them in your hymnal or in the pew in front of you so that we can sing them for the next couple of weeks. We're going to try to sing again tonight since we only get a few shots at it. But first we're going to sing 515. 515. "Since Jesus came into my..." Sing "Be Now Imitators of Your Lord," and afterward we're going to have our time of testimony, so be thinking about that as we sing "Be Now Imitators of Your Lord." If you don't have a sheet, I'm sure an usher can jump up and grab you one if you just raise your hand. Catherine needs one, I think. Kay needs one, even though she's waving something else at me.
Church covenant.
Well, we can sing that later. "Be now imitators of your Lord." Be now imitators of your Lord. Let's sing. Back down in their hymn books then. And we have time for testimonies now. How's God blessed your life this week? How has His grace been evident in your daily walk? Or a song or a scripture that has blessed you this week has impressed upon you, Kay?
Well, God has blessed my life greatly in the last couple of months. He has brought me a long way. Really appreciate all the prayers and everything, and I thank God most mercifully for the help that He has given me in taking away the pain.
Yeah, I think we all know that Kay just had an operation recently, and it turned out pretty well then. And
so far,
so good. So we can praise the Lord for that. Anybody else?
I just praise the Lord. It's been 7 years in March, just since last week, I've been cancer free.
Amen. That is a huge praise.
Amen.
Anybody else have anything for us tonight? James. We can sing 198. Why don't we save that?
What? I said he's going to make me work.
Why don't we save that? That'll be our last song because we only have one more song scheduled before Pastor comes because of the communion service. But we'll save that if anybody else has a word of testimony. Otherwise, we'll move on to 198. Yes, Bob.
Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. What a privilege it is to serve the Lord.
Amen. So true. Anybody else? I see a smile on Dwayne's face.
If the news media has it right, my own heart was moved at the news report that said this earthquake and the tsunami in Japan moved the whole island of Japan 8 feet. And I was not particularly awestruck, but almost, with the amazing power of God when He wants to demonstrate it.
No. And the reports are that there are going to be at least over 10,000 people who lost their lives in this occurrence. You know, and we haven't mentioned this today, so, you know, we should maybe take some time to pray for this. Dave, would you like to stand and just pray for, I mean, we know there are people who claim the name of Christ even in Japan and around there. I'm sure we have missionaries there as well. We don't particularly do, but I know of some that are there, and we just pray for that, for what is going on over there tonight.
Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for how how great you are, Father, how you provided salvation for us, and Father, how we look to you in these times of need, and we think about those that are serving you as missionaries over in Japan, and Father, for others that are believers there. We pray for not only their continued safety, Father, but we pray for your provision for them, and Father, most of all, for our witness for your name before the people that are following. Know that that through these circumstances, a lot of times you can be lifted up, and so we pray to this extend at this time, Father. We just pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Duane, for mentioning that. I was thinking today how we'd be remiss not to bring that up. All right, anybody else before we move on to sing the 198? Looks like we're all ready to go. 198. Let's sing 198 forecast. Participating tonight, you may be seated.
Amen. The wonderful grace of Jesus, God's unmerited favor bestowed freely upon us. What a privilege it is to sing about that, to think about that, just to ponder upon that grace of God. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for that grace that you have bestowed upon us. We realize we don't deserve anything that is good, but yet you in your goodness and in your grace and in your mercy, you have showered upon us so many blessings, and really they all flow from Jesus Christ. And so we do thank you for Jesus. We do thank you for your word. And even as we look once again into your word and we consider even the fruit that you'd have us to bear, I do pray that you'd help us and encourage us even as we strive to be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. So we pray these things in his name. Amen. Well, the past two Sundays, we've been talking a lot about fruit. And it's too bad Dan wasn't here with us this evening, because I was going to refer to what he was preaching on last week in the morning, and he used a certain example as he was talking about fruit. Do you remember what example he was using there? I missed out on it because I was on vacation. He was talking about apples, and do you remember what his favorite apple was?
That second one.
I bet Kim knows what his favorite apple was. Yeah, Honeycrisp, okay? And this isn't a sermon on Dan by any means, just a little bit of fun trivia here. And so it's the Honeycrisp that he likes, but of course he was using the apples to jump into his topic on Romans 11, which we even alluded to this morning, as far as how Paul used the image of the olive tree and the branches that were taken away and the branches that were grafted in, and realizing that Israel and their unbelief were taken aside for a while, and we as the church are privileged to be in the place of blessing to receive the life-giving power of God and to have that wonderful, blessed position to be in the place of partaking of all of the benefits of the root, which is God himself. This morning, if you were able to be with us, we focused on another plant, and that was the grapevine, as we considered once again the fruit that God would have us to bear and how we are related to God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus used that grapevine to teach these things. And I'd like to read just two verses from what we looked at this morning, John 15, verses 4 and 5. Even as we consider how Jesus was the vine, the disciples, the branches, the Father, the vine dresser, Jesus said in chapter 15 and verse 4 of John, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." And so just as we, as the branches, are connected to Jesus Christ, we cannot bear fruit apart from Jesus Christ. Just like the branches on the grapevine cannot bear fruit unless they are connected to the vine itself. And the Father, the master gardener, the master vine dresser, encourages us, prunes us, he lifts us up, even as he encourages us and promotes healthy growth there. Now this evening we're going to talk more specifically as far as bearing fruit. Because if we are a born-again believer this evening, God has ordained for us to bear fruit. That's our natural function as a branch connected to the vine. That is our natural function, to bear fruit. So what type of fruit should we be bearing, and what does that fruit look like? That's what we're going to be looking at this evening and even into next week as well. Now, usually, whenever we think of bearing fruit, we think, well, that's a good thing, right? If I'm bearing fruit, well, then that's a good thing. That's usually the way we think of it. But I would submit to you, that's not always the case. If we think that as long as a person bears fruit, that person is acceptable before God, that's not always the case. Because just bearing fruit, that's not evidence that a person is a child of God. And you'd be thinking, well, what are you talking about there? But let me ask you a question. Is all fruit the same? Is all fruit the same? No, not all fruit is the same. You realize that when you go to the supermarket, right? And you go to the produce section. What do you do? Even as you look at the apples or whatever, or the grapefruit, or you look over it carefully, because once in a while you get a rotten one, right? Well, at the supermarket, you're not going to have certain types of fruit, because some fruit, as if you go into the wild, some fruit is poisonous. And so there's good fruit, right? And there's bad fruit. And really, every single person on this world bears fruit. Okay? But it's just, what type of fruit are they bearing? Is it good fruit or is it bad fruit? And so, just because a person bears fruit, that doesn't really tell you anything. Of course, whenever we talk about bearing fruit, we realize, by implication, it is good fruit we're talking about. But whenever we look at the scriptures, and even Jesus' words, he talks about two different types of fruit. And there's good fruit and bad fruit. We come to Matthew chapter 7 by way of introduction. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and following, Jesus talks about two different types of fruit. Good fruit and bad fruit. Matthew chapter 7 and verses 15 and following. So the question that we have to ask is, what type of fruit is a person producing? And is that fruit acceptable before God? We read in Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 15, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." And so as we look at various individuals, what the Lord is teaching here, you can really tell where they stand before God by the fruit that they produce. And so people, as you are well aware, I'm sure you realize, some people can be pretty good at pretending. They look one way on the outside, or perhaps one way when they're in public, but a far different way whenever they're in a different setting. So people can pretend to be something that they are not. Evil men can mask their behavior in such a way that they appear to be good. But as you look at their fruit, what is produced in their lives, ultimately that will show them for who they are. A man is either good or bad. A woman is either good or bad. And that depends on, ultimately, the relationship to Jesus Christ. Because if you're lost, what are you? You're really a bad tree and you produce bad fruit. If you're saved, well then God has changed your heart and He's really changed you from being a bad tree to a good tree. And so your natural calling really is to bear that good fruit. But recognize we still have the sin nature, so there's still that battle going on there. But really, as we look at a person's works, ultimately they will reveal who a person is. No matter how good of a pretender someone might be, ultimately it is their works that will show them for who they are. But God is the ultimate judge. We look at 2 Corinthians 11 just by way of illustration of what I'm talking about here. 2 Corinthians 11 verses 13 through 15. We think of imitators. Who is the master imitator? Who is the master deceiver? Of course, it's the devil, isn't it? And the devil can make himself look like an angel of light. We come to 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." And so, yeah, a person may look good for a while, but ultimately their nature is going to be revealed by their works. The devil may be able to put up a front for a little while, but ultimately his works will betray him for who he is. And so as we look at a person's heart, either a man's heart is good or it is bad. We're really looking at black and white right now. If your heart is good, that means you've been saved, you've been changed by God. If your heart is bad, then that means you are a sinner, a lost sinner. And so no matter how hard a lost sinner tries to do good, can that lost sinner do good? Now, maybe on outward appearances, it may seem like that person is doing good things, but really, how can a sinner, one who is totally separated from God, how can they do anything that really is good? Because everything that is good ultimately comes from God. And so even though a lost sinner may try to do his good things, really, he can't do it. It's impossible for him to do that because his heart is bad. Even though there are carnal Christians, carnal believers, that sin and sin and sin, ultimately, they still have a heart that has been changed by God. And even though they sin and sin and sin, ultimately, still, as far as their good heart is concerned, that's going to produce some type of good works. even though we may not even be able to see that. But ultimately, even as we saw this morning, if there is a vine that is, a branch that has chosen to cut himself off from the life-giving sap, the life of Jesus Christ, then ultimately there will be a consequence, and they even could lose their physical life. We turn to Luke chapter 6 as we consider, once again, a good tree and a bad tree and the fruit that they produce. Luke chapter 6, verses 43 through 45. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. And so when we get saved, God changes our hearts, and He makes that heart a good heart. But yet, we realize, even though we're saved, we still have the sin nature. So there's still that struggle. Saved individuals can still do wrong, no doubt about that. But as a saved individual, we have the capacity to do good. We have the capacity to produce fruit that is pleasing to God. Good fruit. But it is only as God the Holy Spirit works within us, as we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we are able to produce His fruit. And that's why we come to our passage this evening, Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. You're familiar with it. The fruit of the Spirit. And there's so many other passages we could look at even this evening concerning the fruit produced in our life by God. But this is a passage we really want to focus in on. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. What does that fruit look like? We're connected to the vine. We're branches. What type of fruit should we be producing? And God gives us a good listing here, a good description of the fruit that He produces in our lives. We go to Galatians chapter 5. In verses 22 and 23. And we read here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now we could spend weeks upon weeks just looking at the fruit of the Spirit. And we have done that even in the past. But this evening we're going to look at a few of them. We're going to be looking at love, joy, peace. Next week we're going to be looking at the rest of them. Originally I wanted to look at all of them this evening and give us a good snapshot, but I just couldn't condense it enough. You know, there's just so much there. And even so, I've condensed it far more than I would really prefer to. But to look at the fruit of the Spirit, that's what we're going to do this evening. The fruit of the Spirit. Now, when we speak of the fruit of the Spirit, just in the wording, we realize that the fruit of the Spirit, where does it come from? It comes from God. It is produced by the Holy Spirit who indwells us. It is divine fruit. It is supernatural fruit that God the Holy Spirit produces in us. And so it's not as if we, in and of our own selves, can do this just by our own willpower. That's why lost individuals truly can't produce any of these fruit on their own, because it is God the Holy Spirit that produces these things. So in a way, yes, a lost individual can love, but not truly as God would have them love. Only the Spirit-filled individual can really love as God would have us to love. It is a product of the Holy Spirit in our life. And so we look at this string of words, and each one really has its own flavor, its own significance, but all of them group together under the singular fruit of the Spirit. We want to look first of all at love. And love is foundational for the Christian life. Absolutely foundational. Without love, it is impossible to have any of these other fruit. And truly, even as we look at it, this is the fruit. But without love, it's impossible to have joy or peace or long-suffering. I really believe that love is foundational here. So what does the Bible have to say about love? It has a lot to say about love. But we're just going to make a few comments this evening about love. Two of the most important things that I really want to focus in on tonight, at least by way of mentioning, first of all, God is the source of all love. God is the source of all love. And secondly, we love because God first loved us. We love because God first loved. And so, We love God because God first loved us. We love one another because God first loved us. God is the source of all love. One passage we want to look at in relation to love here, and like I said, we're just being very brief this evening. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. How did God manifest His love to us? In so many ways, but the absolute highest manifestation of God's love toward us, we read in verse 9 of 1 John chapter 4. "And this, the love of God, was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So God has shown His love in the greatest of ways whenever He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. That is the prime example. And truly it is because of that act of love that we ourselves are able to love one another. That's what John says here. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And we love one another by the Holy Spirit working in our lives, producing that fruit. There's so much more we could say about love, as far as the sacrifice involved, looking even more at the prime example of Jesus Christ. But yet, we just want to be amazed this evening at the love of God for us, and that fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in us. Think of this. We can love as God has loved us. Isn't that amazing? To love as God has loved. Amazing. But we want to continue on here. Our second one in the list is joy. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. And this picks up right where we left off this morning. John chapter 15, we read verses 9 through 17. And as we read through these verses, notice how love and joy are linked together. John chapter 15, we begin with verse 9. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." Look with me at verse 9 there. The command to abide in Christ's love. Abide in my love. Well, how do we abide in Christ's love? We already saw that this morning. We look at verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. And then verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And so Jesus talks to his disciples about love, about them abiding in that love, about them keeping the commandments that he has given them. And if they keep those commandments, truly, they would have Christ's joy in them. Amen. And it's not just a partial joy, it's a full joy. And so if we abide in Christ, if we love Him as He has loved us, if we keep His commands, then we have joy, a fullness of joy. And then verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And so there must be love in order to have joy. And truly, in order to have either of these, you must be a born-again believer. Look with me at verse 16 there. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you." And so Christ chose us. Out of the masses of humanity, Christ Jesus chose us. And he chose us to do what? To go and bear fruit. And two of the fruit that we see here in the passage is love and joy. What an amazing thing. So, under what conditions is this fruit going to grow? In what conditions is the fruit going to prosper? And truly, it should be under any circumstances. Because we've seen in the passage here, we recognize joy is dependent upon love. And love and joy, they're based upon abiding in Christ. And as we look at them, they should be present in our life at all times. Because the one who keeps Christ's commands, that means that one is loving Him. That means that we will have joy. And so as long as we are abiding in Christ, as long as we're in the Word and obeying the Word, that means we have joy. So it doesn't matter what the outward circumstances are. Joy is not dependent on that. Joy is dependent on whether we're walking with Christ. Then we're going to have fullness of joy. We're going to have fruit that is superabounding whenever we are submitting to God. Love means that we obey joyfully. So joy should be a part of our lives at all times. Whether it's the good times, quote unquote, or the bad times. Whether it's times of prosperity, whether it's times of hardship. We must obey Christ. And then we are going to have joy unspeakable. That's what joy is all about. And there's so much more we could talk about, but we're continuing on here. We come to the third item in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. We come to peace. And who is the sole giver of peace? We know this. It's only God that can give peace to the troubled heart. God is the only one. God is the only one that can give us that calmness, that assurance of soul. God is the only one that can cast out fear. He's the only one that can get rid of worry and anguish in our life. That's the peace that we consider as we look at the fruit of the Spirit. Turn with me to John chapter 14, just one chapter back from where we've been, in verses 26 and 27. John 14, verses 26 and 27. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit, the Comforter that would come whenever Jesus ascended to heaven. But right after this reference to the Holy Spirit is a reference to peace. And notice it is a gift. Peace isn't something that we can earn. Even though we strive after peace, we can't get it for ourselves. It is something that is given to us by God and God alone. And it's a special peace. It is Christ's peace. It is a perfect peace. There's a huge difference between the peace that Jesus gives us and the peace that the world offers. Now, what type of peace does the world offer you? If you think about what the peace has, what the world has to offer as far as what people think of as peace, it's really based on externals, isn't it? Well, maybe I have a thriving bank account, or I have a house that's paid off. The peace of financial security. Maybe it's the peace of having a good family support system or friends that are there for me. Or maybe it's the false peace of thinking, well, I'm righteous in and of myself. Whatever peace the world may offer you, it's not a real peace, is it? Because it's based on things that really have no foundation to them. The world's peace, it's not peace. There's no comfort there, no true satisfaction. But Christ gives us true peace, supernatural peace. A peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that calms our souls and our hearts. What did Jesus say? Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus gives us true peace. This is the peace that the Holy Spirit produces in our lives. That's a good fruit. So we've just looked at three of the words listed there under the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace. And we could go on. This is great. But we'll continue it next week as we continue to look at the fruit that God the Holy Spirit produces in our lives as believers. So much more we could look at. But next week we'll look at kindness and gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all of those things. But as we have looked, even in brief, at the fruit of the Spirit this evening, and how it can be displayed in our lives, as branches connected to the vine, as believers who abide in Jesus Christ, just think of this. We can be like God. We can think like God. We can act like God. Because it is God who abides within us and produces His good fruit within us. And it works itself out. God has made us a good tree so that we can bear good fruit. So, do we have a life that is a reflection of what we've just read in Galatians chapter 5? I don't think any of us could say, well, I don't want to have that fruit in my life. I think all of us are striving after that fruit of the Spirit. And yes, it is a fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in our life, but also we have to put forth effort as well. It's really something that we have to strive to live for the Lord. But we have to strive not to grieve the Holy Spirit. But yet it is something that God, the Holy Spirit, produces in us. And so let us abide in Christ. Let us be submitted to Him. May the Father prune us, encourage us to continue to grow and to bear fruit. And may it all be to the glory of God. That is our desire. To bear good fruit from the overflowing abundance of the goodness of a Spirit-filled heart. That's what we desire, for God the Holy Spirit to do a work within us, to produce the fruit that He can only produce. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for what You have shown us in Your Word. And even as we have considered the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we thank You that You have given to us the Holy Spirit to indwell us as believers, and that the Holy Spirit produces Your good fruit in our life. Thank You that we can love as You have loved, that we can love still as You still love, and You ever will love. We thank You that we can have joy, we can have peace, we can be long-suffering, all of these things that You produce within us. But yet we have to be willing and submitted to You. So I do pray that we'd be abiding in You, that we'd be loving Your Word and obeying that. I do thank You for the privilege of bearing good fruit for Your glory. And so even now, as we have a special time of celebrating the Lord's table, I do pray that would be another wonderful time where Your name is glorified, even as we give You the thanks for Jesus Christ. We do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 and following, as we want to remind ourselves what the Lord's table or communion is all about. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and beginning with verse 23. And we read here in 1 Corinthians 11, beginning with verse 23. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." As born-again believers, it is our privilege to partake of communion or the Lord's table. And first of all, we want to ask the question, and we want to answer the question, well, who can partake? And as I look at the Scriptures, definitely a person has to be a born-again believer. A person has to have trusted in Jesus Christ for the salvation of his soul. Because otherwise, what is there to celebrate? What is there to remember if you have not even trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? And so this is a celebration, a remembrance for born-again believers. And truly it is a time where we can be united together as the body of Christ, thanking the Lord for what He has done for us in Jesus Christ. We have before us the bread, symbolizing Christ's broken body. As He was there upon that cross, His body was broken in a way that we can't even imagine, and that was all done for us, to God's glory. We have the grape juice, the symbol of Christ's shed blood. And we rejoice in the fact that Jesus shed His blood, the perfect Lamb of God, for sinners such as us. That is the perfect, the infinite sacrifice of love. It says in the Scriptures, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And Jesus Christ shed His blood for us once for all. The fruit of the vine representing Christ shed blood for us. So as born-again believers, we want to be living for the Lord. We want to be producing fruit, just as we have seen these past couple Sundays. And there are certain things that God really wants us to do as born-again believers. He wants us to be baptized. He wants us to be a member of a local church. He wants us to be reading the Bible. All of these things. And really it is up to each person to examine him or herself, even as we see here in 1 Corinthians. Am I living for the Lord? Am I submitted to Him? Am I doing the things that He would have me to do? And we want to be living for the Lord. And we read in 1 Corinthians, in the later verses, we need to examine ourselves. As we partake of the bread and the grape juice, we want to have a life that is free from sin. And truly, this should be a continual thing, confessing our sins to the Lord and being in fellowship with Him. But especially now, we want to be confessing our sins, making sure that we have our lives right with the Lord, in fellowship with Him. And so right now, I want us to have a special time of silent prayer, examining ourselves, confessing any sin that we have not yet confessed, so that we may partake in a worthy manner. And truly, what a blessed time this is to remember what Jesus has done for us. So let us have a time of silent prayer, even as we examine ourselves, confess our sins, thank the Lord also for Jesus Christ and the perfect sacrifice that He is. Father, we do thank You for this special time where we can remember what Jesus has done for us in a very tangible way. We do thank You that Jesus, as He was upon that cross, His body was broken for us, His blood was shed for us. We do thank You for that free gift of salvation. Thank You for the oneness that we have in Christ. And truly, we thank You for this time of remembering what Jesus has done and truly celebrating. And so we do thank You even for the promise in the Scriptures that if we confess our sins, that You are faithful and just to forgive us of those sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank You for that. So even now as we partake, pray that this would be a time of fellowship, a time of bringing glory to Your name. So we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The deacons would come forward. received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And truly we look forward to the day when Jesus Christ comes, what a day that will be. But until that day, we will continue faithfully serving him, continuing remembering what Jesus has done for us on that cross. Let's gather around in a circle and we'll sing, Blessed be the tie that binds, because it is truly Jesus Christ that binds us together as the body of Christ.
Christ has done for us on the cross. Father, for this message tonight about the food.
good thing to be come about in our lives, Father, through loving you, Father, and doing your commandments. And so, Father, we just pray as we go out from this place, we have that desire. We pray these things in Jesus' name.